Hello and welcome to the first ever Celtic women's football show. All your Celtic women's team content in one place. My name is Claire Wild, and I will be your host. And I am joined, it's so delightful to have three of my colleagues with me, by an illustrious panel as always. We've got the soon-to-be creator of the Celtic Women's Songbook. It's Lindsay Hamilton. Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
Hi. Talk to us about your chance. I mean, we didn't start the fire, but it doesn't matter because we've got Mariah was a stroke of genius on Wednesday.
I tell you what, there's an absolute belter of a songbook coming and yous are not ready. Yous are not ready, swear to God. They just come to my head. I've always been quite good at that, I think, because my nana's like mad musical piano genius. I'm not a genius by any stretch, but songs tend to just pluck up into my head.
Anyway, how are you doing, Lindsay? All right? This final Friday, we're recording this on Friday. You should be hearing it on a Friday as well if you're listening when it first comes out. We've also got the popularizer of the Fran Alonso thumbs up meme. That's probably what you're best known for, Lorenzo Pertuzzi. Hi.
It's definitely my greatest achievement. I think it will maintain as my greatest achievement for the next 5 to 6 years, I think.
At least. I don't know. Yeah, it could be longer, to be honest.
How big the meme gets.
How are you doing today?
Good. I'm fizzing with excitement to be on the inaugural Celtic Women's Show.
Yes, it's very exciting to be here. And of course, it's exciting to be here with the man who's got many hats. We're very lucky that this is one of them. It's Aaron Connolly.
Hiya, how are you all?
Very well, how are you?
Thank you.
I'm really well, thank you. I'm interested in Lindsay's songbook, if there's any of that sort of glorify the IRA or any of that sort of chat in your songbook.
No. There's
call Mariah without the IRA.
No, none of that. But there's a fantastic Lady Gaga mashup, but that's got to come a little bit later.
A little bit. We'll release that as a playlist or something at some point.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the podcast where we talk about all things Celtic women's team, as I said before, in one place. We also have a dedicated Twitter feed now at Cynic Women, if you want to go and follow that to keep up with all the news. First and foremost, we need to talk about Wednesday. I'm just going to play us a little clip to get us in the mood before we kick off, if that's okay with everyone.
Conor McShawnish, Mariah Lee as a VN. Jennifer Pfeiffer, Hunemach, Pfeiffer, Gaturi, Hicke. Conor McLee, Paul McLee, Celtic, Irigo, Larhashoch. 2 minutes and we go. Mariah Lee, and Paul good as a game of all the Greens.
There it
Such
is.
Such a beautiful language.
Obviously, it's more for vibes than anything else because we don't know what's being said apart from the fact that he's saying that Mariah Lee scored a goal for Celtic at Celtic Park against Rangers at the Glasgow Derby on Wednesday. That's been the big news of the week. I just want to go around and talk to you all about how you're feeling about that now, how excited. I'm still completely buzzing about it. Lindsay?
Oh, completely still buzzing about it. It's just changed the whole thing. We're back in the game. It's as simple as that. And it was a huge moment, huge buzz. That's twice now we've went and grabbed a sort of late goal against them. And it's just so sweet. Like, a good doing's always fun, but sometimes against your greatest rivals, just nicking one
is
all the more sweeter. So brilliant. Still bumming about it. So good.
And it's so nice to see all the, I mean, there's just been a real buzz, like on social media, on Instagram, on Twitter, all the players, the whole of the team. There's just more out there than there has been all season, I think. Just obviously it was such a big win, wasn't it, Lindsay? It's so nice to see.
100%. Definitely noticed. It's just one of those where you're like, yep, Glasgow is green and white. It still is. So just bolt with any other feelings that you have. Nah, all good.
Lorenzo, you were watching it as it happened. Talk to me about that.
Total Hollywood. We had the setting, we had Celtic Park, we had Under the Lights. It was a struggle, it was intense, and then a late goal. It was as good as you could ask for as big a game as it was, and it's probably the biggest goal in our professional history.
Yeah, and it's kind of got, I mean, people were saying and comparing it to a number of things, but the League Cup final in 2019, Aaron, when we got that, and it's like what Lindsay was saying, it doesn't matter how you do it, you just got to do it.
I mean, I had the the joy of watching the game when I already knew the result, because I didn't see it live. So that was helpful because I would have been stressed out otherwise. I've also been brushing up my Gaelic this week, and the end bit of the commentary is actually Mariah Lee, Hunskelper extraordinaire. So that's the end bit of the commentary.
Thank you for that translation, Erin. That's very useful.
You're welcome.
I think I was actually at Celtic Park, which was unbelievable. And the kind of journey of my experience was overwhelm by being at Celtic Park, to be back watching football at Celtic Park, and it was unbelievable. And all this, it was weird because it was like the match day, but and all the songs were playing, except for there was no one in the stadium, and you're sort of sat in your weird little like press desk with all these people around you who you're like, I don't think they're one of us. and then obviously it kicks off, and by the kind of middle of the second half, I was just getting quite frustrated and thinking, oh, this is not going well at all, and so desperate for a win. But I was kind of like almost resigned. And then when that goal went in, I just felt sick for 10 minutes. So I don't know. Was that how you felt, Lorenzo, watching it live?
Yeah, when the break happened, because it was like a counter-attack, and obviously we have the cup final and the Samaras goal, obviously at Ibrox, just all these big kind of monumental Hollywood Celtic moments all came together in this one woman's game. And it just left me kind of speechless for 5 minutes and just nervous as hell for the last 10 minutes, because also we've been so ruined by Celtic this year. I was just convinced they were going to score. I was just convinced. I was sitting waiting on it. So it just made it all the more nerve-wracking, and then just sheer relief at the final whistle.
Yeah. Let's have a look at this in terms of a reaction that we would normally do. The other thing that we have been asked to do is to talk through some of the players as well. We've got a few videos that we've done to introduce people to the players. We haven't done the whole squad, but I will put a thread of those out on Twitter if you are listening to this and want to look out for that. And I think probably in the second episode, we might do a little kind of feature where we do an analysis of the squad and look in a bit more depth at the players. But I think there's so much to talk about with this game today. Erin, first of all, when you saw the lineup, what were your thoughts? We always kind of start there.
Yeah, so I think when I saw the lineup again, similarly to last week or the weekend, I was happy that it looked to be a back four again. I've mentioned it that in the previous game, and I seen the lineup come out and was happy to see it was a back four. A little bit surprised again when I watched the game back that Chloe Craig and Joey Bartle had sort of switched positions, because Chloe Craig had done so well and we waxed lyrical about her performance. Mm-hmm. Although I think that getting Bartle in at full back was probably to try and nullify the Rangers' threat of Nicola Docherty from left back and Lizzie Arnott, you know, both fantastic players in their own right. And obviously Kiva Keenan coming in for Jacinta was a bit of a surprise, but I'm, you know, watching the game back and watching how we actually played tactically, we sort of stood off them, let them have possession, tried to suck them into little areas to take the ball off them. It makes sense. Jacinta's great on the ball, great going forward. I'm not so sure that she enjoys going back the base. So Kiva Keenan comes in. She gives you that real defensive discipline in terms of being in front of Chloe Warrington. We'd seen before Rachel McLaughlin, who's obviously involved in the goal here, but Rachel, when she was at Glasgow City the first game of the season, you'll remember, caused us real problems coming from that fullback area. Her deep driving runs, she's a great athlete and she's great getting forward and getting beyond her wide player, and she scored against us. It was a cross, albeit it was a cross, but she caused us no end of problems. So I think Franz probably looked at that, sort of decided how Rangers would likely line up and made his team selection based on that, based on trying to nullify their threats, especially from fullback in wide areas.
Yeah. Lindsay, what were your thoughts when you saw that? Similar to Erin, did you have any kind of immediate observations when you saw the lineup?
Well, we have to bear in mind that I was a nervous wreck. So when I first saw the team and saw Kiva Keenan, I immediately went, I'm fuming. He's took Warrington out of the team. And then I reassessed and saw, no, he hasn't, Lindsay. Just calm down. Like,
take a breath.
Realise what happened. So I thought the squad was strong. To be fair, this is probably, for me, a really potentially our strongest 11 physically, if anything else. And I think that is what Fran had in mind. I think that's why Jacinta maybe wasn't involved in this one. She's great on the ball. She's attacking is the name of the game for her. But we really needed, we know that Rangers can be a threat. And I think we needed the physical battle, and we should as hell got one out of the two sides. And it was very enjoyable to watch. So no, when I saw it, I was chuffed with it, to be fair. It was just immediate panic because I thought Warrington's out. I was fuming, but yeah. No. Good team selection for me. I thought it was on point.
Yeah, I was quite pleased with myself because I had prepared, my sister very kindly did the lineup with numbers for us that I tweeted out. And so I'd sort of prepped it in advance. I was like, I'll just do one and I'll send it to you, and then you can just make the changes when the actual team comes out. And I'd only got one player wrong, so I was quite pleased with myself. I think I hadn't put Kiever in. Talking of no Jacinta, Lorenzo, you're a big Jacinta fan. Were you, like the others, I mean, you were dismayed not to see her, but do you understand why Fran did it?
No.
talk to me about that.
devastated, panicked, worried. Is she okay? Is she going to be fine? I mean, she wasn't even on the bench. Do we know? Like, do we have any update on, was she injured or?
I asked about injuries in the press conference today and was told that she's fine. But there was a kind of vague insinuation that she might not have been 100%, but it wasn't very clear. So I'm not sure. I don't think there's nothing serious is wrong. Don't worry, okay. Lorenzo.
Thank God. Well, I mean, the main thing I was pleased about was that Paddy Power don't offer goal scorer odds. Otherwise, I'd have been down a wee bit of money. But no, I mean, it turned out not to be a game for Jacinta. And I think if he'd benched her and the game had played out as it had, it would just look like a great tactical move. I don't know what the decision was based on.
Yeah.
Maybe she could have, you know, lit up a wee bit of a spark. She's that kind of player if we needed a goal. Mm-hmm. But the way the game played out, I thought Kiva was great in that role. And combining with Warrington, they were just super solid. And it's a super solid way to start. And as far as the rest of the lineup went, yeah, I think based on the last few games, I was pleased with it. And I was looking forward to the game straight away.
Great. And we've sort of started to touch on it there. Aaron and Lindsay touched on it as well, Lorenzo. But in terms of how we set up and tactically what we were doing, what changes or if any did you notice? And did you kind of, obviously we didn't have any luck for 80 minutes. And I mean, by a lot of accounts, you know, Rangers had the run of the pitch. So what were your thoughts on that in terms of how we were playing?
Yeah, I just didn't think we ever really got anything going offensively. So there wasn't too much to kind of go on, even if there was things we were trying, there just wasn't much that ever seemed to come off. There were periods in the first half, I thought it was maybe a wee bit exaggerated in the commentary about Rangers' dominance of the ball, because I thought we had the ball quite often in the first half, we were just doing nothing with it. Mm-hmm. And that was down to, I think, Rangers' centre-halves were really solid for a lot of the game, and we just kind of couldn't find avenues in. Defensively, as much as Rangers had periods of kind of real domination and real chances, I thought we were matching them physically. It was quite a tough game. There was a lot of heavy challenges flying in. And I thought the girls in the middle of the park in the back line really stepped up to the game because Rangers really seemed to have an intent on making it a physical game.
Yeah. Aaron, I'm going to come back to you. Lorenzo mentioned that back line there. Caitlin Hayes got the player of that. There were two players of the game because I think one was the sponsor and one was the kind of Celtic player of the game. Caitlin was one of those. She always impresses me with, I really trust her in that defensive position to kind of like protect the goal at all costs, because she really does put herself on the line. But obviously around her and on the rest of the park, what were your thoughts with how we set up and whether it was or wasn't working?
Yeah, initially I was a bit disappointed, as I always am. I'm a hard man to please, apparently. I just thought we stood off them a bit too much. I think usually we see, and it looked very much like a game plan. There looked to be very clear pressing triggers when the girls were being asked to go and press. I think for the most part, they were asked to stand off and try and be hard to beat and not leave any gaps to allow Rangers to play through. Rangers were very physical, a lot more physical than I expected them to be. Fran had obviously done his homework in that aspect and understood that, you know, to win the game, we had to deal with that physicality for a while before then hoping that in the tail end of the game, we could attack them. But I did just find myself, especially in the first half at periods, just being disappointed that we weren't trying to press them that bit more. I think Westrup and, I don't know how to pronounce it, the girl's name, the other centre half, but they just got too much time on the ball for my liking. I'd have liked to see us just being 10 yards higher up the pitch and just making it a little bit more difficult for them. But then you look at it in terms of, you spoke with Caitlin Hayes and she was the one player that I wanted to speak about. She just does everything really well, I think. In the early part of the season, I added some question marks over Caitlin Hayes, and she took a wee bit of time to settle, but as she settled into the shot, she really, really started to dominate, and she's dominant defensively. She, you know, she wins her headers, she wins her tackles, she makes some really good blocks. But the thing that I really like about her, and we've mentioned it loads of times on here, it's like you say, you trust her. When she's in possession, you trust her. When people are pressing her, you trust her. You trust her to go make the right pass and to try and move Celtic forward. It's not just, she's not just passing side to side or passing to her fellow centre-half. She's always trying to make that vertical pass and break lines and go forward. So I thought she was excellent and a well-deserved player in the match in the end. But yeah, just part of me was just, I know it was a game plan and I know it's just not how we like to watch football. We'd like Celtic to be more on the front foot. But at the end of the day, we got the 3 points and it's an absolute masterstroke almost.
Yeah. We're going to talk about sort of, they had a couple of very hair-raising chances, Lindsay. they hit the bar, sort of proper heart and mouth time. You know, they hit the bar. There was a chance quite early on that was an absolute sitter that they missed. And then there was two that came off the bar. Those are the ones that stand out for me. Do you want to just talk to me a little bit about those and kind of how much of that was luck and how much of that was them making mistakes and how much of that was us doing something?
The first one for me, I find really frustrating, the Brownlee chance. It was actually really fun to watch Brogan Hay and Warrington go head to head. The two of them really, they did get the better of one another, you know, back and forth. The two very good players, I must say. I think I did text in the group chat, Brogan Hay did impress me. I thought she was a big threat, and she beat Warrington just a wee touch away, and she was passed, puts the cross in. Donaldson's out of position. I think Bartle's let it go across her. Brownlee's got to score. Mm-hmm. She's got to score. Really, really poor on her part for missing that that chance. But our mistakes, Brownlee's mistake, but I think luck really does play into it, yeah. And we did ride it a lot. I think I listened to David Haley after the game talking about it, and he did kind of throw his hands up and go, we did massively ride our luck with certain things. As you're saying, the two chances off the crossbar. Sam Kerr had a couple of chances as well, especially in the first half. And yeah, you do. You get a bit of luck with those things. I don't know. I'm kind of in a bit of agreement with Erin. I think there was certainly, we were being really physical. There was a lot of challenges that I liked. There was a lot of one-to-ones all over the park that I felt that we were winning. But overall, we weren't shifting the ball in the right spaces for me to like really impact the game and play keep away and keep possession and try and make some things happen. There was a lot of back and forth, which was parallel with the first game that we played Rangers. There was a lot of to-ing and fro-ing between the two, and you didn't quite know what way it was. Sorry, something has just fell off my wall. You didn't quite know what way it was going to go. But yeah, the Brownlee chance for me, if that was buried, I think we'd be having a very different podcast right now. But that was the big one for me in the first half.
I want to come to you, Lorenzo, and just talk about it quickly. Obviously, we've said we did ride our luck a bit, but they were having those chances and we might have been doing stuff to stop them, but we weren't looking like we were making anything, which was the scariest thing, I think.
Yeah, it seemed like it's fine to counter-attack, it's fine to sit in. And I think chances are to be expected when you play like that. You know, nobody can nullify a team to zero XG if we want to get statty about it. But, I mean, the Brownlee chance was so bad. Like, I was raging when she missed it, you know. And she was a Rangers player. I was fuming when she missed it. I remember shouting, fuck's sake, throwing my hands up in the air when she put it over the bar. I couldn't believe it.
Oh my God, you with that and Lindsay loving Brogan. Hey,
how long have you supported Glasgow Rangers?
But I mean, they had a couple, and the striker that came on in the first half, she had three or four kind of what you'd probably deem good chances that she snatched that a wee bit, and we had some pretty good last ditch defending to put her off those chances.
Yeah,
the one where she hit the bar is just a case of her. I mean, that just needed touched in, and she absolutely wallops it. Like, she gets everything behind it, and that would have gone out the stadium if the bar wasn't there.
Yeah,
but, we rode our luck, but you have to. So I'm not that. It's that way. If you end up winning the game, you know, it's just what you have to do. It's just part of the system of the game plan. But if we lost 1-0, then we'd be sitting here talking about how it could have been 4 or 5. It's that way.
And we didn't. So as we said, you know, it's almost like a a sweeter way to win, to get that, like, to take that chance that we did take, and we did take it, Erin, didn't we? Mariah Lee comes in. What minute was she subbed on? When did she come on? Has anyone got that noted down? Because I haven't written it here.
Somewhere in the 70s, I think, though.
Yeah, it was early 70s.
Yeah, so she comes on. She talked in the press conference earlier. I haven't got that clip, but she said that basically Fran said, "You're going to score." Because they were asking, someone asked her what her plan was when she came on. And she said, "I don't know. I'm sure he said some tactical things, but I also know he said you're going to score." And that's all I could think. So Fran manifested the goal. Erin, talk us through that. We're going to hear Chloe talk later in a wee interview we did with her. I've also got a clip of Mariah talking about the goal. Will I play that first and then we can have a chat about it, because she talked about it from her perspective.
Because it was off the corner and I was kind of ahead of most everybody, but then I just could see like them breaking down and we were about to win the ball. So I just started sprinting. And so I'm just sprinting. And then the defenders are going to Chloe. She's drawing them all in. So I'm just screaming for it and pointing. I'm like, play it, play it, play it. Because if she played that ball, I knew I was in and it'd be a one-on-one with the keeper. And that's what happened. And she got a little touch on it, but it wasn't enough. And I just slotted it in. It was pretty it was really fast, you know. Yeah. Goals like that just happen so fast that it's kind of hard to really break it down, the actual finish, but yeah. I just saw the net and just had to hit it in.
I really like hearing it from the player's mouth, like how the goal was, it from their experience. Erin, tell us what happened, like talk us through the goal.
Yeah, so obviously Rangers get the corner, that breaks down, and then they go to deliver it again. I think it's Jodie Bartle who clears it, and then there's some really combative play from Chloe Warrington to win the challenge against Rachel McLaughlin. And in fact, I'm going to praise Fran here, because Mariah Lee is absolutely rapid, and if there's one person you leave up front at a corner when you're wanting to counter-attack, it's her. And he's obviously thought about that, and he's told her to remain there. And we spoke on Monday, Lorenzo, Claire and I spoke about Mariah Lee's impact in the Spartans game, that she looked as though she was just finding her feet a little bit, and she made a real difference the last 20 minutes of that game. So he's done the right thing bringing her on with 20 minutes to go, and perhaps the game when we wanted to stretch the game. But yeah, it breaks down, and Chloe Warrington does really, really well. And I know when Chloe speaks about it, she'll speak about, you know, Rachel McLaughlin perhaps maybe stopping, claiming for a handball, and Chloe doesn't stop. And you get told all the time in football, you just keep playing until the whistle goes, and Chloe does, and it breaks down, and she gets it. And you see her look, I think she looks two or three times, and I think she says in the upcoming clip that, you know, she hears Mariah screaming for it, and she sort of looks as if to try to pick the pass at the right time, and then she does it. And I think the pass is actually a wee bit heavy, but Mariah Lee being so quick gets onto it. Jenna Fyfe comes rushing out, and it's Samaras all over again. It's the exact same. And Jenna Fyfe gets a little bit of a foot on it, but when Mariah Lee's round her, you just know it's going to be a goal. And then she looks a bit shocked when it goes in. She does. I thought when I hadn't seen it, so I thought when I was going to watch it, she would lose it a little bit. But she just sort of turns around and jogs a wee bit until the team, all her teammates, flutter. But it's just one of those goals that are so sweet when you have dug in and hung on in the way that we did through some of the game, you know, to catch them out in a counter attack like that and get a goal. And because you do get it late in the game, I know there was still 10 minutes to go, and for us, it was probably gut wrenching. And Claire, you said you feel sick, but as a player, you know at that point, then just 10 more minutes. We just need to hang on for 10 more and we get a massive win here.
Yeah. You're a player, but did you feel like that, Lindsay?
No. I love that you say I'm a player and I'm really not. Player.
You were obviously, like Erin said, he had the benefit of watching it probably with a more critical eye for the first time because you knew the result. I think when I was watching it in the stadium, I only realized how good Chloe Warrington's involvement was when I was watching it back. But how was the experience of watching that for you? Did time slow down as Mariah made that run towards Jenna Fyfe?
It was just pure relief, to be honest. Like, it's funny, I was a stress ball. I was a complete stress ball for that game. I thought that we actually played quite poorly. And then I watched it back today and I was like, my God, I was like super, super critical just of everything. Like, because if we weren't winning, then it was just like all hell had broke loose. Mm-hmm. And watching back today, I was actually able to look at more individual performances and be like, do you know what, man? They actually like really put a lot into the game. Enjoyed it a lot more today because I was just like, the nerves were shot, man. This game was huge. This game was everything. If we lost this, then that... Yeah.
Our season probably, was looking very, very different.
Our season was
it?
Looking very, very high, like downhill. Yeah. And it was just huge relief. To be honest, it did kind of, even when she got past Fife, I was just screaming, hit it. It looked as if she took like 5 years to get her foot on the ball. Just hit. I was like, honest to God. But it was one of those ones as well. I thought, she's going to get round here and she's going to miss it. It just felt like one of those games. It felt like, as much as we're saying we've like rode our luck, we didn't seem particularly like, I think it was something that Lorenzo just said, but Celtic have put us through the mill.
Yes.
As a whole club, the whole season. So I think I was just fully expecting, I'm just a pessimist now to everything. I was like, she's going to sky it or put it past or whatever. Brilliant, man. And I picked up on what Erin said about the celebration. I did also think she was kind of like when Lubo scored his first Celtic goal, mine, and he just sort of looked around as if, oh, well, it's kind of Balotelli-esque. What is it? You say, like, the postman doesn't celebrate when he delivers the letters, so why would a striker celebrate when they score a goal? She was just the coolest person in the park, to be fair, but I completely lost it. Like, I was jumping about in the space behind me just going nuts. Luckily the dog wasn't here because he'd have been like stuck to the roof or something. Brilliant.
Yeah, I also lost it as well. And normally when I'm like at games, and obviously at the moment it's only press that are allowed, so you kind of don't feel like you're in a majority in terms of being a Celtic fan, I kind of keep myself quite quiet, but I also lost it and just got lots of stares from people. Lorenzo, I don't want you to miss out on you having your chance to talk about how it was for you to see that goal. Lindsay said that it's like that millisecond that she took to actually put her foot on the ball and put it in the net felt like a long time.
Yeah, I mean, we can pinpoint these exact milliseconds across all the years we've all watched Celtic. You know, that millisecond, that intake of breath before Tony Watt puts that ball against Barcelona, the millisecond when somebody's around the keeper. And rewatching it, I genuinely thought Mariah took 3 to 4 seconds to place the ball in the back of the net. I just thought she did. That was what it was like in my head.
Yeah.
Rewatching it, it's just instant. But yeah, she just got that X factor pace. It's just ridiculous. And it's one of the, you know, it's a hard game plan to do, but it's simple when it works. You know, the other team's worn down. Mariah talked about she felt like they were worn down. She felt like they were breaking a wee bit.
Yeah. And she obviously was coming on, you know, Mariah Lee is one of those players who's not starting, but she's being subbed on. So, you know, Erin, I don't know, is that a smart move as well by Fran to come have someone with that level of speed to come on at a point where you really need to get a goal with some fresh legs?
Yeah, I'm fairly certain that Fran would have spoken to her and said that, you know, you've made an impact against Spartans, a real impact. I think she struggled in her first start against Glasgow City, but she'd made an impact coming off the bench. I'm sure maybe she would have felt like she was on a chance of starting, but sometimes it's good, players like that, just to keep them on the leash that game longer and then let them off, you know, for 20 minutes again. I dare say she'll be chapping his door down if she doesn't start at the weekend, because she's made impacts now. But yeah, to have a player with that speed and that, you know, that awareness and that composure, because it's already been quick, you know, there's a lot of quick players who don't make impacts in games. But what we've seen from her in the last two games is that she makes a positive impact. She's got awareness, she's got composure in her finishing. You know, she can beat players and things like that. So yeah, I think he's done the right thing, because he may have been tempted to throw her in earlier based on her performance against Spartans. But as I said, maybe just keeping players like her on the leash just one more game and giving her the opportunity in such a big platform has propelled her and given her a real desire to go make a real impact on the game.
Just finally, before we finish this bit where we're reacting to what happened, Lorenzo, that Rangers team, obviously coming in supremely confident, they've had a really good run of games, they'd won 5-0. Do you think they? What did you make of the opposition? Basically,
I thought they played with quite a lot of confidence. I thought they seemed, after the first kind of opening 10-15 minutes, they seemed to know they were in charge of this game for the most part, and they played like it. And as we said, how physical they were there to bully Celtic at Celtic Park, which would have been the team talk, which would have been the goal, was to come out, bully Celtic at their big game at Celtic Park, end their season, guarantee yourself Champions League more or less. And they play with a swagger like that, but the more they were knocking on the door and just not getting through, and then missing sitters will do that to you. It just seemed more evident that Celtic had worn them out, had worn them down, and now the shoes on the other foot mentally, kind of Celtic have the upper hand here. We've beaten them twice this season, and we're kind of knocking right behind them. And they had a, you know, they only won by one goal last week. They know that they're in a real fight here, and they cannot slip up at all. So there's a lot of nerves up amongst that camp, I assume.
Yeah, we do have to play them again. Before we move on to the next part of this show, I'm going to come to you all and ask you for your... I'm going to let you have two, because sometimes when we do this, everyone names the whole squad, so I'm trying to limit that.
Lindsay specifically.
So I'm gonna throw the challenge to Lindsay first to come up with your two top players, because they were, if we say that Caitlin Hayes and Lisa Robertson were the official players of the match, who would you put in as your players of the match?
Robocop, what I am now calling her, 100% was my player of the match. So I basically wrote this down right after the game had finished. So I was calling her Henry the Hoover on the group chat. Sorry, I'm saying this, I'm forgetting that people listen and do want. So basically on the group chat, I was calling Lisa Robertson Henry the Hoover, because to me she was just hoovering up everything. But that lassie covered everything. So do you know what it is? She's like a mashup of, see at Fives, you go to Fives and you get all the wee black bits in your boots. Mm-hmm. And they end up in your shoes and in your living room and in your hair and in your car and everywhere. She's like the wee black bits at Fives meets Henry the Hoover. Just gets everywhere. Just covers everything.
That's not as catchy as Robocop.
Robocop.
Let's stick with that's a confusing analogy, Lindsay. Who's,
I know, I was wondering where we were going now.
Who's your second?
I really don't know who my second would be.
That's okay, you don't have to pick two. I was just trying to limit you to not seven.
No, I think I can't pick a second.
Okay.
To be honest, I think there was some good performances all round, so I'm not going to.
Lorenzo.
Caitlin Hayes, I loved. I think with that headband, she's got like this kind of cult European centre half thing about her.
Yeah.
That I'm very into. I thought she was great. And just a game that needed to be physical and you needed to trust somebody. You need to trust your whole back line. Yeah. She was great and she didn't let us down. And
do you want to pick a second, or are you happy with Caitlin as your player?
I think they just have to go Mariah, because she is now an official Hunscalper. You know, that is a big deal. She's, you know, that puts you down in Celtic legend. She's a Hunscalper.
Yeah.
And doing it in that fashion, she's a hero of that game.
Erin Connolly, it is your turn.
Just quickly on Mariah, she's a Hunscalper who wears number 7, which is even better.
Yeah.
So I thought, similar to Lindsay, Lisa Robertson, I speak about her every game, and I feel like I'm turning to Lisa Robertson CSC. In fact, I might make my Twitter handle that. But I thought she was, she covers every blade of grass all the time. Similar to Caitlin Hayes, Lisa can do all of the physical stuff. She can do all the, she can make tackles, she can pick up loose balls, she can intercept, she reads the game really well. But she's just phenomenal in possession. And even under pressure, like she was a lot the other night, you look at that Rangers midfield, you know, Sam Kerr, Lizzie Arnott, players like that. Really physical, really experienced players, you know, really demanding and tough to play against. I thought Lisa managed that fantastically well. She's a real leader in the team, and I think you can see that. And I'm going to mention a second player, Anna Philby, again. I thought being chucked into a game like that, she's so similar to Lisa, she's maybe not quite on a level yet. There's some work to do to get there, but I think, you know, the two of them work so well together in that sort of double pivot. They're both quite similar, but obviously with Anna being right-footed, Lisa being left, there's a nice balance there. Anna can probably be tidier on the ball, but she does drive forward a bit more than Lisa will. She will get beyond the strikers and stuff like that. So I think the two of them worked really well together. And what was a tough game, I thought the two of them were excellent.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. That makes for a very kind of dynamic midfield, doesn't it, with those two on the park. I was going to say special mention for Chloe Warrington from me as well, just for the way that she picked up that ball and just powered past Rachel McLaughlin and got it where it needed to be, because it was just, I've watched it so many times today and I'm just a bit obsessed. But anyway,
he had a few brilliant touches as well, particularly like deep in our own corner, and when we were kind of stuck trying to get out, there were a few times she beat a player in like our own corner or back to the box. There's one actually, Lisa Robertson gave her like a hospital pass But it was just, evidently it was a perfect pass to let Chloe show off because she just took it right by the Rangers defender in two touches.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll hear from her a little bit later. The next person we're going to hear from, I've had a wee chat with our friend Christian Wolf, who is going to talk to us a little bit about stats and analytics in the game. Sounds boring, actually very interesting. This chat is less about actual stats, which we will do some of, but it's kind of about the landscape and where we find ourselves. Obviously, the women's game is very different from the men's game with that. So without further ado, here is my conversation with Christian Wolf. I am here with my good friend, Christian Wolf. Hi, Christian.
Hello, Claire. How are you?
I'm very well. You are our stats man extraordinaire. So we just wanted to have a quick conversation with you about, because you and I have talked a little bit about maybe doing some stats and analytics and stuff for the women's game. And there are some challenges involved, are there not?
Yes. I mean, good luck having a quick conversation with me about stats, but okay. We'll, I know you'll cut me down if I need to.
Yes. I certainly will.
So the world of stats in the women's game, which is actually quite interesting at the moment. And it might be good to kind of go back and think about, okay, why is the stat landscape just in football in general? So yeah. You have companies like Instat and Yscout, which we talk about a lot. Now, they are essentially just video databases, primarily for scouting, you know, or position analysis, but they're kind of branching into stats, and because that's how people do scouting and things like that now. But you have these other type of companies, which is more data companies, and the two big ones is StatsBomb and Opta. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for example, Opta will be behind the stats you see on Match of the Day. StatsBomb has kind of really taken off the last few years. And for me, they're probably the best data company out there, both in terms of the quality of data and how they visualize it. Yeah. But if you're a club, for example, and you wanted full access to the StatsBomb platform, which I've seen is pretty cool, and the data is good, lots of cool visualizations. Depending on where your club sits in what league they're in, for example, if you're a championship club in England, you're probably talking about, for a full subscription, about 50k a year.
Yeah.
If you're a Champions League club, at least £100,000 a year just to get access to this platform with data. And that's before you hire people to actually go and do them. What StatsBomb does for women's football, which is really cool, is that they collate, you know, this data for leagues all over the world, but they also do it for the women's league in England, France, Spain, Italy, and Germany. But whereas they charge the men's team for access, they give out this access for free to all these clubs. Like,
great.
Yeah, and it's a really cool way of just kind of, one, spreading, you know, the use of data into a game that is compared to the men's game is, you know, having to catch up in so many ways and for so many different reasons. So they're giving this what would cost a Man City or even any club in the Premier League, maybe £100,000 a year, to just give that away. And that's a great platform for those clubs to be able to use because you can use it as an advantage and so on. So So StatsBomb in general has been very good for that. And they're quite also good at, so that's the kind of advanced data that's available to clubs. But if you think about, okay, what kind of stats for women's football are available and, you know, for the public, for us, because I presume, Claire, you've done this for a few months, a couple of years now. It's not a lot of stats around.
No. I mean, the thing about it, you're talking about that sort of big data that obviously we'd love to have for the women's game. But one of the challenges we have is even looking at things like who's had game time, you know, who was playing games. You know, I was looking at team sheets earlier and I was going back through Twitter to find who had been playing. And you're sort of thinking there's got to be a better way of collating even some of the basic data here so that we can go and find things out just in terms of covering things.
Well, this is the thing. So you have StatsBomb. And what StatsBomb do, they allow a website called fbref.com to collate and publish stats from some of their advanced stats like XG and stuff. But this website also kind of just goes out, take all the stats that are publicly available and some partnership for other stats and put them on their website for free. And they actually have XG data for the English Women's Super League. But even for in tough flights of other women's football, like Netherlands, Australia, Norway, Sweden, if there's stats publicly out there, they collate it and put it into quite cool tables. So you can go and get decent information, even though it's not advanced, but it's still good. Scotland.
Yes.
Absolutely dire. So maybe put this in context. So if you're a team in League Two in the men's game in Scotland, so the fourth tier. So what the BBC does, they have an opta person, I'm pretty sure, that's covering each game. And what you get is standard stats, you know, shots on targets, corners, fouls, lineups, goal scorers, and, you know, when they scored and so on. And they also have, if you go into the BBC website, there's a live text for most of these games. And what it does, it kind of just describes everything that happens. So it says, shot from the middle of the box, wide, with your right foot. And with a bit of work, and this is how we did it old school years ago, Claire, when we did the first kind of XG model. So you can take that text and you get very basic information about where the shots were taken from.
Yeah.
And you can kind of even build like basic XG models from it. So that's very standard. Fourth tier Scottish men's game have that. Top flight of the women's game, nothing. It's only the score on BBC. There's not even a lineup or goal scores and everything. So that's the same level of data that you have for the Scottish Highland League and then Lowland League, which is the fifth tier. So BBC, essentially, public service broadcaster, puts the effort and resources they have for the Scottish women games on par with the fifth tier of the men's game. So that's obviously, that is an issue, because the only thing you have really publicly for stats in any sort of stats for the women's game in Scotland is on the SWPL website. And even then, it's lineups and who scored and when the subs comes in and out. So that's not good. And I presume you're just as frustrated with, as you say, because you have to troll through Twitter and whatnot just to get the most basic of information.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really frustrating. And I think the reason we want to talk about it here is there is a little bit of information out there. You've sent me a couple of wee bits. And on this show, we want to kind of get as much information as we can and start doing something with some of the stats and analysis, looking at things like, you know, how much game time players are being given. If we're, you know, going into a game with a tough opposition, say we were going into the Rangers game on Wednesday, we would kind of do a little bit about some of their stats, because we maybe don't know as much about the actual team and the way they've been playing.
So even just having how many minutes players actually was on the pitch, if there were a sub, if they started, who scored, so on, you can do some things with that. And you can, you know, put a couple of visuals together and you can actually get a sense of, you know, what's happening. But again, this is kind of level you could probably dig out for, say, under 17s and under 18s in the men's game. And you know, there's people I worked with on Stats Science Scotland who's done that. But it's very limited. So we'll do what we can with that. But there is a joker. There is a joker.
Go on. What?
And that is our friends at Instat. So obviously, For Celtic men's team, we use Instat for both, you know, watching the games and Instat is, you know, this video database. So if you wanted to watch all of Callum McGregor's dribbling in the first half and these 10 games, a couple of clicks and you can get up and you can do tactical analysis and things like that with it. So on Instat, there's either one or two things. You have a game, the whole game is there. Which is good, but it's just you know, the whole half, full game, and you can watch it and you can do some tactical, you know, you can cut it up, put some nice squiggly lines on it and stuff like that. But the men's game and most of the games on Insta is what they've been coded, as we say. That means you get a full package of stats and, you know, you can both on the video, but you can pull up anything. So, but the only team, and this is quite funny, oh, I don't know if it's funny, it's funny for me, is that the only team in the SWPL, the only team whose games on Insta is what we call coded, so that it's on a level with what we get for the men's team, is Motherwell. Randomly, so I spoke to my, you know, contact we have at Insta, a very nice man called Slav, and basically he explained that the reason why Motherwell's team's games will be coded is because they would be a client of Insta. Obviously, we in the Cynic were a client of instead because we get access, but they'll be a client in terms of you code our game so we can go and see the data from it. Uh-huh. So just the fact that Celtic isn't even doing that, they're not a client of Instat in
that
sense.
That's very interesting, isn't it?
And there wouldn't be a big outlay for a club like Celtic. So I, for the Motherwell women's team, I can get the same access of stats to every game as I would for the Celtics men's game, which is, it's so close, Claire.
So within touching distance. Well, do you know what? Like, maybe this is something that is so close that it will happen. And then going forward, when we're doing these shows, we're going to invite you on and we're going to get you to do these short and sweet, Christian, because we know that's what you're good at. Little sections
and,
on
that. Absolutely. And also in the Nerd Bunker, we have Stephen and Aaron, and we can do tactical stuff with it. But yes. I will make one pledge. Is on the 9th of May,
yes,
when Motherwell plays Celtic. And there will be, hopefully a couple of days after, on Instat, you know, the full game coded. And I would do the first ever version of the Celtic Women's Match Center for the stats, because I can do that.
It's really exciting. We very much look forward to that.
But yeah, we'll do what we can with the little we are given.
It's really nice to have this quick chat with you about it. And I look forward to having more conversations, because I always think I'm not going to be interested in the stats and analysis. And then when you start talking, it helps me understand a lot more about the game. So I find it really useful. So thank you, Christian Wolf.
I'll never give up a chance to talk about stats. You know that, Claire. And it'll be a pleasure to cover a Celtic team that's, you know, fun.
What did you text me yesterday? The numbers are the real star.
Well, was I lying? Probably. But I thought it was a nice line.
Okay. thank you very much, and we will speak to you very soon.
See you down the road.
That was my conversation with Christian there. Lindsay, you've heard that. What are your thoughts on that? And in terms of how important this aspect of the game is, I'm going to come to Aaron in a bit because he's more involved in that world.
A resident XG expert. It's stuff that I'm really intrigued to learn about, because I really, it's not something that I know much of. Mm-hmm. But clearly, as much as I am not an expert in, I know that it is hugely important to the modern game as it is now. And it's about scouting, and it's about improvement and player development, and it can be used for all these beneficial things. So it absolutely should be mainstay, and it should be getting utilised in the women's game. I was really intrigued. The thing that really got to me, I'm not sad or emotional about it, but the thing that I really took from it was when Christian said that it's only Motherwell women right now are the only ones that are using this specific technology from a specific company, which name now escapes me.
Instat.
Thank you. I just find that interesting, and because as he's saying, he's like this. It's, you know, not out of reach. Mm. It's easy to get hold of. It should be. I don't know the finance behind it, but I mean, we are Celtic Football Club. Let's not get into how much we've punted on season tickets this season. Like, I'm sure you can subscribe or whatever you need to do to this very, very beneficial technology. So why not get it done? But as he's saying, it will be interesting to see it in motion, because he's going to use it for the Motherwell game coming up.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that.
So that will be really good. But no, huge benefits is all I see. I don't really see any negative to it. So it doesn't make sense to me that it's not getting utilised for the moment. For the moment.
I was really surprised as well by that fact about the Motherwell, that they're the only ones using it. And it's not out of reach. Aaron, we use it, don't we? Or you've used Instat before. So if we can use it, then Celtic Football Club, it feels like they could probably get their hands on it.
Yeah, Celtic have considerably more subscribers, if you call this season ticket holder subscribers, than we do. So I'm sure there's some money kicking about to get involved. Instat is my friend at the moment. I've been doing a lot of work on it with some of the scouting stuff that we're doing, you know, with the Cynic shortlist that we're putting together for summer. So it's just beyond belief. I'm not going to try not go too ranty about this, right? But some of the stuff that Christian has just outlined, where the women's coverage on the BBC, which is a national broadcaster, which we all have to fucking pay for through a TV license, all they can offer us is the same as the fifth tier in Scottish football men's. It's ridiculous that that's the level it's at. This is the premier competition for our women's football, and it deserves more respect than that, and it deserves more coverage. Something that we've spoken about before, Claire, whether it be known when games are going to be shown or are games going to be shown. I think hopefully In time, that'll improve. But in terms of Celtic and Celtic not accessing this data, it's just really disappointing. We spoke to Fran Clair about analysis and what they were doing, and he said one of his first fights with the club was to try and get games videoed and make sure that the other teams in the league were videoing their games so that they could do analysis, and he had to fight to get that. So he's got that on board. I dare say that this will be on his radar too, to try and improve. It's a really sad state of affairs, but Instat's brilliant. As you say, I think we use it. It's really, really helpful. It even breaks down games. As Christian has said, it will allow you to break down games into each player's individual actions and things like that. So it's great for scouting as well. That's something that I've always thought about with the sort of Fran Alonso and how he picks players. You know, it must be difficult to do recruitment if you can't see players other than what you... So he's recruited players like Caitlin Hayes, etc., Jodie Bartle, who's known. But if we could get ahead of the game because we can start seeing more information, then we would start hopefully recruiting, you know, better players and make that recruitment process easier. It's frustrating as fans not having the proper access. I can only imagine how frustrating it is for Fran and his team and his staff.
I think it's frustrating for Fran and the team. It's certainly frustrating for us covering it. I think there's a couple of levels. There's the Celtic aspect, and then there's the entirety of the Scottish women's game and Scottish women's football. And, you know, there's a lot to unpick here. So I think that's something we'll probably go back to and maybe even do a feature on at some point. And I know that it'll, I'm sure, come up as part of the Celtic Vision podcast. One of those will be around the women's team and the women's game at Celtic and all those things that feed into it and feed into kind of supporting that. So, yeah, I was super fascinated to hear about that. And there's definitely more to come and Christian will be back, whether you're happy to hear that or not. We talked earlier quite a lot about Chloe Warrington. She obviously played a key role in the game on Wednesday. She was the one who had the assist for Mariah for the goal. I was lucky enough to get to have a wee chat with her earlier today, which was great. So again, without further ado, I'm going to let you listen to that and then we'll have a quick chat about that. I'm here with a player who has played all her girls and women's football at Celtic at nearly 19. She's now made 10 appearances for the first team squad and has become a regular starter under Fran Alonso and certainly impressed us as an attacking fullback. At Celtic Park on Wednesday, she provided the ball into Mariah that resulted in the winning goal in the Glasgow derby. I'm delighted to have the opportunity to sit down for a chat with Chloe Warrington. Hi, Chloe.
Hiya.
How are you doing?
Not too bad, not too bad.
The first and obviously most important question is, how are you feeling now after the big win on Wednesday?
Absolutely buzzing. I mean, couldn't have done it a better place at Celtic Park to beat Rangers 1-0. I think it's every young girl's dream.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that a bit later, but first I wanted to kind of touch on, I was at the game, and it was really exciting. And when I saw that, my eyes were kind of on Mariah and watching the ball go in the net. And it's only when I've come back and I've watched the goal quite a number of times now and realised just how good that ball was that you sent to her to allow that goal to happen. Can you just talk us through that passage of play from your perspective a little bit and how it felt when that goal went in?
I think Jodie just clears the ball out the box and she sends it high and long, and I don't know, I think my automatic instinct was just to chase the ball down, and we were at 0-0 at the time, and it was 10 minutes to go, and I think the counter-attack was definitely on, and I just seen the ball bounce, and Rachel McLaughlin went to try and tip it over me, and I just jumped and hit off my shoulder, and she cleared for a handball, and then next thing I know, I actually heard Mariah screaming for the ball, and I was two of the Rangers girls were pressuring me at the time, and, you know, I just played the ball through, and luckily enough it was a perfect ball for Mariah to run onto.
Could you see where she was from your perspective, or were you just kind of
when you watch the video back, and I've watched it back so many times now, you actually see I look up and then I look up again, and then I see Mariah pointing, and I just release the ball, and then if you watch it, when you watch it from the unique angle, I just stop for literally 2 seconds and then start running again. I'm thinking, oh my god, just the ball in the back of the net, please.
Yeah, one of my favourite bits of it is actually where you get the ball from Rachel McLaughlin, where you come up and it just happens and you just kind of power through, and it's like, oh, she's done it.
I know. At that point, the nerves started to kick in a wee bit.
Yeah, and how did it feel when that went in the net?
Oh, absolutely buzzing. I mean, especially when it was now 10 minutes to go, like it was getting out, the game was getting a wee bit frantic. The Rangers were putting a lot of pressure on us, like just having that wee bit of leeway, being 1-0, like absolutely buzzing. And the celebrations, you can see it in every one of the girls' faces, like absolute delight.
Yeah, I would think I was one of the only people screaming from the press box and getting all excited. Everyone was staring at me. As a young player, I don't know, how was it to make your first team start at Celtic Park? I mean, that must have been a huge thing. I don't know, because you've been around the Celtic squad and the academy for such a long time. Had you had the opportunity to play there before, or was this your first time?
Yeah, I've never ever played like 11v11 there. When we were younger, we had like a small opportunity to go on, and it was literally just in the corner of the pitch, like just a tiny wee bit of the pitch you were on, and you don't even think you got as far as the halfway line. It was literally just like a small wee event on the pitch, and that was it. Apart from that, I think that's the only time I've played.
So when you heard that you were going to play that match, especially against Rangers at Celtic Park, that must have been like really exciting for you and the whole squad, really.
Yeah, of course. Like, I'm still young, just turned 19 come May, and you know, it's a dream come true. And you know, I'd love to play there every single week. I mean, I think that was probably one of my best performances. And after that, I said to one of the girls, I'd quite happily play there every single week if we had the opportunity to do that.
I think we'd quite happily watch you there every single week.
We'd love it like that. I would too.
We'll be pushing for that as well. Do you think, in general, like, because one of the things you think about is, you know, the pressure of the occasion and the pressure of the venue. But it sounds like you think that maybe that for you that improved your game, or it was a bit of a motivator?
Yeah, I think it gives you that wee bit extra motivation. You don't want ever to get beat at home. You never ever want to get beat at home, especially at Celtic Park. I mean, there's a bit of a difference between K Park and Celtic Park, but
yeah, you can say that again.
So you definitely don't want beat at Celtic Park.
Yeah. Just moving on to kind of playing with the squad this season, Fran, you've had sort of, I think, 3 starts in a row, is it now?
Yeah.
Since the Glasgow City game. And Fran's spoken a lot about giving opportunities to young players, trusting the younger members of the squad. How has that been for you with him as the manager and the sort of, obviously, the team becoming professional and Fran coming in? What's it been like to work under Fran and sort of being given those opportunities on a regular basis?
I think Fran's gave me my best opportunity yet. I was just making the transition from the academy team to the first team when Fran came in. That was literally the exact same time it happened. And, you know, just Fran coming in and it being like a clean slate for everybody, like, it just gave me the opportunity to prove myself, even as a younger player, like, that I'm capable of playing with the older girls and playing in the first team squad and starting every week.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks that way to us that you've slotted in. And there are obviously lots of other academy players. You know, we've heard news about how many teenagers have been playing in the team. And, you know, but there are a lot more experienced players. How has that balance been for you? And what have you been able to learn from some of the more experienced players in the squad who've been around for a while?
The older girls are one of the best things in the squad. I mean, they hold the team together. Like, they are such like good motivators, and in training they pull you through. It's like you're not having a good session, they're always like getting on at you, but not like in a bad way, like always in a positive, like that they want like you to do well, and they're there and they look up to you and they do a great job.
Yeah. And one of the things, just a sort of bonus question to that, one of the things we've noticed with Fran as manager and sort of this season, obviously the season's been broken up, it's been very weird, kind of stop start, but we certainly noticed it in the first part of the season before the break that there's this real trust on the pitch, like they're talking about the older girls and, you know, players even on the pitch during games coming up and giving that support to the younger players. Do you feel that as well?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think every single girl's got trust in each other. I mean, you wouldn't want to even step over the line if you couldn't trust the other centre-half or whoever was playing in front of you. You've got to, like, trust every single player that steps on, whether they're older or younger, or they've got more experience than you or no experience at all. It's all about having trust in one another. And we gain that a lot through training, like in the meetings that we have and the analysis that we do. Like, we've got to trust Fran, we've got to trust that all the coaching staff, David and Michael as well, like the work that they're giving us is like key, and we've got to put that into the game and trust one another that that's going to come off at the end of a game.
Yeah, definitely. We spoke before we started recording about the fact that obviously there's been a lot of fixtures over the last week. You had the game at the weekend, then you had the big game on Wednesday, and you're going to Hibs on Sunday. How are you preparing for Sunday in light of the fact that you haven't had very much time again?
It's a quick turnaround from Sunday to Wednesday, Wednesday to Sunday, but I mean the games are coming thick and fast, and all focus is on Hibs at the weekend on Sunday now. What's happened on Wednesday's behind us. I mean, we can only build on it, take the confidence and look forward to Sunday. I mean, we'll prepare for what comes at us on Sunday tomorrow morning. It was a recovery day yesterday and we've been given the day off today, so tomorrow we'll look at Hibs and hopefully we can take a result and 3 points from that as well.
Absolutely, we'll be there. We'll be rooting for that as well. Just on a more broader note as well, just for you, having kind of had this rise through to the first team, what are your personal ambitions at Celtic and also the ambitions for this Celtic side? We've heard about other players talking about Champions League places. Obviously, after Wednesday, the league is still very much in contention.
Yeah, I think the 3 points on Wednesday night was probably the best thing. Like, it's blown the league open a wee bit, like, between the top, the end of the league game. We're obviously going for Champions League spots, going for the top spot in the league, and there's nothing that's stopping us from going and doing that. I mean, we just need to keep on the pressure and not drop any more points and just keep taking 3 points from every game, and I look forward to it every single time I step on the pitch. I mean, you've just got to go out and think about 3 points and think about Champions League spots.
Yeah, kind of keep your eye on the prize. On a personal level, have you thought about things like Scotland squad and things like that? Is that something you would like to aim for, or is not something you want to talk about or think about at this point?
I like to think of myself as like just setting short-term goals, and obviously it's something I do look to for in the future, is to break into a Scotland squad and just to even like get my professional contract at Celtic, because I'm just still on the part-time kind of amateur contract, because I'm still at college, still working away there, and you know I'd like to get the professional contract at the end of the season and hopefully stay around for a bit longer.
Well, we definitely like to see you stay around for a bit longer. We definitely look forward to seeing you play more for Celtic. Hopefully see you on Sunday playing against Hibs. But thank you so much, Chloe, for taking the time to talk to us. Congratulations on the assist on Wednesday.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully we can have a bit more of an in-depth chat at some point, because we hope to be able to talk to more of the players about, you know, their stories and allow the fans to get to know you all a bit better. So we really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you.
So that was Chloe. It was really lovely to speak to her, and it was really nice to, she was really happy to be asked about playing football and playing for Celtic, because I think, you know, the women's game doesn't get as much exposure, and also when it does, it tends to be the more established players in that squad who are asked to speak about it or attend press conferences. What did you make of that, Lorenzo? What did you make of Chloe and how she answered those questions?
I thought she came across really, really great, and just even wee things like how much she's watched the goal back.
Yeah, you
know, just, even just getting a professional has watched their own assist, you know, multiple times, just because it was such a big moment in her career. For a 19-year-old, she seems super. Or is she even 19 yet? She's about to turn 19.
She's about, I think she's 19 in May.
Yeah, she's super self-assured, but also super grounded, I think, and knows how hard she's worked to get in that team and how hard she's going to have to work to stay in that team.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the self-awareness to be openly pleased with her performance. You know, I thought that was one of my best performances. That's good to hear. Usually players are either kind of too modest in an annoying way, or yeah, just up their own arse. But she seems very grounded, and I'm excited to watch her kind of cement a place in this team.
Yeah, I think we've really enjoyed it. And what you said there, Lorenzo, the fact that she has kind of was clearly fought for that place in the team. There was a bit during the press conference before the Hibs game today where he was specifically asked about younger players, and he talked about Chloe. So I'm just going to play that clip quickly before I come to you, Lindsay.
I am very pleased, and you know, it hasn't been easy for Chloe. She was out of the squad against Glasgow City, and since then, obviously we have a chat, and since then she has shown a different player in training in terms of aggression. She has worked the hardest she could be, and then she didn't give me any other option by to play her. And then she back up this decision with good performances, very solid performances, defensively and offensively on the pitch.
So basically he's saying there, Lindsay, that she just worked so hard and she did the right thing, and that, you know, he's known to have a competitive squad, and that she did what she needed to get into it, and she's showing that on the pitch, I think.
Yeah, I think the sort of word that stood out there was she showed that aggression. We saw, obviously, on Wednesday night, a very, very physical game. It's obviously something that just doesn't appear. It just doesn't come out of one or two players. It's clearly something on the training ground that is, valued, I suppose. They want to be competitive. They want to be, always speak about controlled aggression, and that's what it was from the squad as a whole. And I'm just chuffed to bits for her, to be honest, but you can tell that Fran clearly likes her, and clearly, as Marty was saying there, you know, she was out of the squad for the City game, which was her first game upon the return post sort of the COVID break. And I mean, that's a pretty quick turnaround to go and make your mark and turn up to training and turn on the style. And as he's finished up there by saying she's left me no option but to play her. She is showing herself as the number one choice, and I think that shows she is. I know I've said that a million times, but it's the only way I can describe it, just calmness personified. Lorenzo was talking about it there, just that being stuck in our corner flag and just going past people as if they're not there. You know, it takes confidence to do that, let alone the skill and the all that sort of ability to be able to do it, but the confidence to not just go, do you know what, I'll just chuck it up the line, just safety first. She's happy to take risks back there and get involved in play, and great to watch. I'm not surprised that she's getting picked ahead first. Oh Jesus, Tony.
Totally, and almost sort of out with the stuff that she's doing on the pitch. Like, one of my favourite bits of our chat was where she talked about how much respect she's got for the older players in the squad and how that works together. Erin, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because that really came across quite strongly.
Yeah, I loved that interview, and I've got loads of notes here. We'll start off with that, and then I'll probably go off in tangents. Just intercept me whenever. But I thought that was that's really important. The importance of older players, especially in a team that is so young. We've spoken about it consistently. You know, we're seeing 7-8 teenagers being used almost every match, and Chloe is one of them. Has obviously recently broke in after being in the academy for many years. It's great to hear her speak about older players so positively, because I think in football, you know, a lot in the men's game especially, you hear about older players almost bullying and make it difficult for younger players to break through. I think it's great to see and hear that older players are actually trying to guide these younger players in the right way. We spoke the other week about Lisa Robertson in the game with Tegan Bowie, and how she pulled Tegan Bowie over, you know, after a poor touch and had a little chat with her mid-game. There was a point in the Spartans game where all the players got together and had a chat because there was a breaking play. I think that's really important, that you have these players who have been round the block, who've been at the club. You know, Chloe Craig as well, Sarah Ewens, Natalie Ross, Kelly Clark, all of these players are really important, and it's great to hear them being spoken positively about, because I think a lot, some older players might think they're doing the right thing and perhaps the younger players don't feel that way, but it's very evident that that's not the case here, and the older players are really helping guide. And something else that Chloe spoke a lot about was the importance of trust, and we've heard that word from Fran a lot as well, and the trust that they have to have in each other. And I think that helps as well. You know, when you're a young player, if you're coming in, if you know that your teammates trust you, you know, Lorenzo spoke earlier about Lisa Robertson's pass to Chloe Warrington under pressure, but to have the trust to give her the ball in that area and know that she's good enough to deal with it and get past a player makes such a huge difference for a young player coming through. And then just, you know, listening to her talk about playing at Celtic Park, saying it's every young girl's dream, like it was my dream, it was probably, you know, all of our dreams on here apart from you, Claire, but you know, we all wanted to do that. And just hear her speak about it in such a positive way and how much it meant to her and how much the result in the end will mean to her, that'll be a point she'll look back on it for the rest of her life. Now, you know, her first big game at Celtic Park is against Rangers, and she sets up the winner, you know, not even 19 years old yet. It's incredible. And then finally, I promise, the way she breaks down the goal, I just loved listening to that. See the awareness when she speaks about how she knew the counter attack was on, that insight into her sort of in-game thinking and her in-game management, because I think a lot of players may just have burst forward not thinking, whereas she tells you that she was thinking at the time, I knew we could counter-attack here if I won possession back. And she talks about hearing Mariah screaming for the ball and how she takes a couple of looks. It's just really good awareness, and it's really great to see and hear her in-game thoughts and hear what she was thinking, yeah, as opposed to what we often get fed from footballers, you know, the sort of rehashed usual answers about things that happen. You actually got an insight into what was going on in her mind in the midst of a Glasgow derby with 10 minutes to go, just before she sets up a goal. And I think that's just a tremendous insight as a fan, and it's the type of stuff that, the type of access that we've had over the course of the season, and it's been great to listen to.
Yeah, we're really lucky to have that with the women's game, obviously, at this stage. And again, with that, we mentioned her age and stuff, and the fact that there are all these youngsters coming through, and it's something we've talked about over the club as a whole, maybe that youth development strand, you know, we've said this before on podcasts, but it's really nice to see Fran putting trust in them, like he's said previously, on these big occasions, on the big pitch. It's not just when, you know, it maybe is a slightly easier opposition. Lindsay?
Yes, can I intercept? Sorry. There is an adorable picture on Chloe Warrington's Instagram on our story. So basically, in the melee of the celebration, yeah, everybody's pounced on Mariah Lee. Jodie Bartle was like top of the tree, just like. And Warrington has ran to Lisa Robertson, and the two of them are hugging it out on the field.
Yeah.
And Lisa Robertson, actually, I've seen this on Lisa Robertson's story. She's sort of re-grammed it, I think is what you call it, whatever, and wrote my wee fave. So I think that just solidifies the stuff that she's telling us, the stuff that Erin's just spoke about there, about looking up to like the likes of Lisa Robertson. Mm-hmm. One more thing, sorry, just on the interview, because I genuinely thought it was class. It was my favourite so far out of all the player interviews that we've had. I was really intrigued about her saying about her part-time contract, because she's still at college. Mm-hmm. And I think she mentioned this when you mentioned Scotland, which I was really keen to like hear, because I genuinely just look at her and go, she's got to be in the next Scotland. Like, there's no question for me.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. I think she was sort of like, well, I like to focus on my short-term goals and this is them. And she just outlined that I'm still on a part-time contract. She obviously wants to be here. She's going to finish up her college, whatever it is that she's doing, I'm not sure. It was just so grounded and yet so like honest, and there was nothing cliched about it or anything. It was just like a proper gab with an actual human being.
Yeah, it was very nice to so do it. Cool. We're hoping that also, well, I'd like to see her on Sunday. We're going to move on now to talk a little bit about that game. We are playing Hibs at Kate. We're back at K Park, which seems a bit of a sort of crashing come down after the bright lights of Celtic Park, but we are where we are and it happens to be K Park right now. So that's the kickoff is at 10 past. And again, that's going to be on BBC Alba. So anyone who is in Scotland and has BBC Alba will be able to watch that game. One of us hopefully will also be there and we will be reacting to it in another of these shows next week. I'll come to you first, Lorenzo. Looking at what you'd like to see based on what we saw on Wednesday, obviously there's been a very quick turnaround with games. Do you think there's going to be some players rested based on that? Or do you think we're going to see a different lineup?
I have no idea, actually, because I don't really know the kind of... Fran doesn't really rotate for fitness too much. It seems like he was rotating for other reasons. So I'd be curious to see if he does decide to rest people. But Hibs, you know, they played pretty well this week. They might be a potential scare. Part of me wants to see consistency in the lineup, because we've done like we all like that lineup, so maybe we should be looking forward to seeing it again. But coming back to K Park is like coming off the plane after a 2 week holiday and going back to work, you know, the next day. Playing at Celtic Park. So I just hope they can acclimatise nice and fast back to it.
Especially with no fans. I would encourage people to come to K Park to watch games when we're allowed back. But yeah, Lindsay, Lorenzo said that maybe we'd like to see the same team, but we've also said maybe Lee might get her first start. What do you think?
Yeah, I think she's surely got to be rewarded that after the... It's not even after the goal the other night, even the Spartans victory as well, as we've said before, like definitely came in and changed that game for us. So yeah, I think she's... I think she should be given that. Whether she will, I do not know. I can't even choose his lineups anymore. I don't know what he's doing. He's way ahead of me. which is a good thing because I'm not a football coach. So
It's hard to predict, but not as in a scary way as when Neil Lennon was doing it. Is that right, Erin?
Yeah, I suppose I would like to see the sort of same back five and middle two, so those same seven players. I know Craig and Bartle have swapped position a couple of times and I'm comfortable with that. They're both really adept at playing centre-half and full-back, so that's great. Robertson and Philby, for me, would need to stay. I think the front four in front of that, we've spoken to Frank Clare, you know, the last interview we did, and he spoke about the fluidity and liking to introduce different options there and not being too worried about who plays in what position as long as they picked up the correct position based on the phase of play. So I think it may well change that. I'm not sure Kiefer Keenan will feature there. I think we'll probably be slightly more attacking minded, which means potentially Jacinta, maybe Mariah Lee will start there. Sarah Ewens.
Lorenzo was just doing a wee cheer there for Jacinta.
I've obviously been a huge supporter of Sarah over the last few weeks, but I think she was disappointing against Spartans. Even though she got a goal, she probably should have been a lot tidier in her finishing. And she wasn't hugely involved the other night, so maybe he may consider rotating her out. As I say, I'd like to see keep that stable back five in that midfield too. That's a real great platform to build on and play around with the front four. You know, there's loads of good attacking options there. So give some of them an opportunity.
Yeah. I mean, Sarah is one of those players who has played most of the minutes, I think, as well. So if he is going to do any rotating for fitness, she might be one of the ones that comes out to make way for someone else. Erin, you had something else there?
Yeah, I just had that. There was a bit in my notes I meant to say. When we last spoke to Fran, he spoke about the way that Hibs play, and they do press you really high and they will have quite a high line. And we were quite direct against them last time. So I wonder if he's of a mind to play Mariah Lee centrally, because Hibs will leave a lot of gaps in that area. Assuming that they still play the same way, I haven't seen Hibs since.
Well, I'm just going to interrupt because interestingly, one of the things he said, because I asked him about that in the press conference today, and he said that they've been sitting back and doing more of a low block and they've maybe have changed to become a bit more defensive. So, but he was clearly aware of what they're doing. So whatever decisions he makes, I'm sure will be based on the Hibs team that's been having this. You know, when I saw that Hibs was one up against Glasgow City, I was shocked. So yeah, they're not a team to take lightly at all. None of these games are. We need to go in feeling positive, as all the players have, and saying that we need to win. I'm just going to come for predictions because I put it on the rundown. You knew this was coming, Lindsay. I'm sorry.
I know. I'm not ready.
I mean, we've got it spectacularly wrong all season. So just throw some numbers out there just for fun.
Is it me first?
Yeah, yeah, go on. You first.
Right. I'm going to go 3-1.
To Celtic, I assume. Lorenzo Pacitti, what is your prediction for the score on Sunday?
If Jacinta starts, 3-0. If she doesn't start, 2-0.
Oh, nice.
There you go, a little caveat.
Only
there.
A slight adjustment. And Erin, what are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I think we'll win 2-0, regardless of who starts. I just think it'll be 2-0.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to probably next time look a little bit more. Obviously, that win against Rangers meant that in terms of the table, it's much closer at the top now. We can kind of go into a bit more detail maybe next time about what that means. And obviously, there are still quite a number of games to go, so it's almost not worth mathematically trying to work it all out at this stage. And also, it makes my mind boggle a bit when I try and do that. But yeah, the rest of the season, there's a lot to play for. What kind of, based on this, feels like a bit of a pivotal point, I think, Lorenzo, what do you want to see going forward? You've mentioned that consistency of lineup before. Is that something, and is there anything else that you'd kind of say that you maybe saw on Wednesday that you'd like to see going forward?
I'd like us to maybe, between these games that aren't against the other top two, is get confident enough that when we come back and play one of the top two again, we go at them.
Yeah,
a wee bit more, because we have dragged it back to where Champions League places are in our hands again. You know, if we win, if we beat Rangers again, if we win every game, blah, blah, blah. That's what we always wanted, is to be within touching distance come the last matchups with those two. So yeah, just maybe, I mean, win every game, please, would be what I'd like to see, first and foremost. But yeah, build up the confidence that we can take the game to these teams next time we play them.
Yeah. Lindsay, if you had a sort of one point, like what you'd like to see going forward, what would you say?
Flair.
There we go. Simple. Easy as that.
In the flair.
We saw a bit of that on Wednesday. Aaron?
Just probably no more slip-ups, no more forfeit performances, I think, is key. Just to,
which is to a
get
reference
some, get some momentum.
To the draw with Forfar Farmington earlier in the season, that's kind of the thing that's almost put us behind on points and kind of let us, just for anyone who wasn't sort of there at that point, let us slip behind in the table a wee bit.
Yeah, so I would like to not have to do that again, having caught up. So get some momentum, put some momentum together in terms of performance and results, and just continue to grow. I think we were rightly critical of the Glasgow City game after the comeback. I think since then we've seen a growth in performance. Wednesday night, there's obviously been parts of it that weren't great, but that was a clear game plan. I don't think that was actually anything to do with the real actual performance. So continue to grow, continue to develop, and hopefully no more slip-ups, so that when we get to Glasgow City and Rangers again, that those are games that if we win, we're putting ourselves in with a good shout.
Yeah, absolutely. Aaron, this has been really, really lovely to talk about so much of the women's game and with all three of you here. How have you found it?
It's been an absolute joy. I think it was a really good idea to sort of bring all of the coverage into one weekly show. We can break down everything as best we can. So well done, Claire. It was a fantastic idea and thank you for having me.
Thanks. I was obviously fishing for a compliment there. Lorenzo, it's been lovely to see you.
Yes, I'm doing the Fran meme into my wee camera.
If only we could make it make some noise. And talking about making some noise, I don't know, songbook next week. Sing us a song next week, Lindsay.
I will sing a song anytime. I feel like I've had a bit of a channel this week, so so I'm just going to go back to the studio and write some banging tunes.
Oh,
and,
Claire, can I do a shout out before we go?
Of course you can. Well, it depends what it is.
It's just a shout out for Uncle Brian, who I'm sure will be listening.
Brian McManus is our missing piece. He will potentially be here next week with us as well. This has been so great. I hope that, you know, we'll refine this format going forward. Let us know what you liked. Let us know what you want to hear. Let us know what you didn't like. Again, follow at Cynic Women, because that's where we're putting all the coverage of the Celtic women's team from 90 Minute Cynic, the Cynic. But until then, this has been great. I have been your host, Claire Wilde, and this has been the Celtic Women's Football Show.